On July 13th and 14th, the official Duluth temperature reached 95 and 97 degrees. On those days, our north-facing shaded patio reached 97 and 98 degrees, and our south-facing front porch reached an astonishing 101 degrees. Our heat pump is malfunctioning, but the company has canceled a couple of appointments already to get it repaired. As we've learned in recent years, extreme heat goes hand in hand with wildfires, and this week Duluth's air quality was the worst I've ever experienced. My daughter got a screen grab when the EPA's website was showing our air quality index at a devastating 1,134. For 3 days, from morning till night, it stayed so dark that it looked as if a major storm was looming, even when meteorologically the skies were clear. Russ and I went to lunch on Thursday at a restaurant on London Road and could not see the lake at all. On those smoke-darkened days, our solar panels produce very little electricity. We have two air filters in our house, both running at full strength, but even when I'd been indoors for hours, my eyes were still burning. I could still feel a slight burning sensation when I took a deep breath, and I could detect a faint smell of smoke. On Wednesday, during some of the worst of it, my daughter saw her oncologist and I went to the dentist. In both those indoor settings, we could still smell smoke. My dental hygienist told me that the entire staff had been complaining of headaches that day. Sensible people outdoors were wearing masks. I'm growing 6 tomato plants in pots and have to water them several times each day. The whole time I was outside, my eyes and lungs burned. Just opening the door for the second or two it took me to get in and out, our air filter showed a spike in particulates in the house. When the risk reaches 201 on the air quality index, the purple level, the EPA says the risk of health effects is increased for everyone. When it reaches the highest level, maroon, or over 301, the site says health warnings of emergency conditions, everyone is more likely to be affected. The warning issued on the worst days was this, quote, "Everyone needs to cut back on outdoor activities. People with heart or lung disease, older adults, and children and teens avoid physical activities outdoors. Everyone else avoid strenuous outdoor activities or keep physical activities short. Consider moving physical activities indoors or rescheduling them." End quote. Those are sensible guidelines for humans, the ones who have options at least. But what are animals to do? Before the heat and smoke hit, I'd been watching some delightful baby house wrens. Their parents are every bit as attentive and nurturing as the finest human parents, but those poor house wrens can't call their babies indoors when the AQI reaches unhealthy or hazardous levels. At rest, a house wren's heart rate was measured as 455 beats per minute, rising to 701 while incubating eggs. No one has measured an active wren's heart rate. Like all small birds, their respiration rate is also extremely fast. It's impossible to assess what the heat and horrible air quality are doing to them. I'm still hearing one adult male singing, but have not heard the tiny chips of those babies all week. I'm hoping they all survived the worst of this, but there's no way to know. I haven't seen a hummingbird in weeks, even though some of my bee balm is in full bloom. My pair of adult catbirds were coming to my just now ripening June berries, as well as my feeders, several times a day, but I've not seen them since Tuesday. Where could they possibly have gone when this disaster is so widespread? Did they share the fate of those canaries in the coal mine whose deaths warned miners that the air was dangerous? There's simply no way to know. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.